Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa today officially presented a special sitting of Parliament a correct speech with which President Robert Mugabe was supposed to read at the official opening of the third session of the 8th Parliament yesterday.
I put the question that the text of the speech presented by His Excellency the President, Comrade R.R.G. Mugabe, be withdrawn and substituted by the correct version.
The MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Moken Tsvangirai has petitioned the Speaker of Parliament over death threats issued yesterday against the opposition lawmakers.
It's actually very insulting for Advocate Jacob Mdendates to say to our individual members of Parliament, go and report to the police. For him to trivialize these threats with respect to are not happy, and we actually stated that in the letter.
And the African Development Bank has dismissed reports that it has written off Zimbabwe's $600 million arrears to the bank.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa today officially presented to a special sitting of Parliament the correct speech which President Robert Mugabe was supposed to read at the official opening of the third session of the 8th Parliament yesterday. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera filed this report from Harare.
I put the question that the text of the speech presented by His Excellency the President, Comrade R.R.G. Mugabe, at the official opening of the third session of the 8th Parliament be withdrawn and substituted by the correct version, and that the incorrect text be expunged from the records of Parliament.
That is Speaker of the National Assembly Jacob Mdenda after Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa had tabled the correct speech which President Mugabe was supposed to deliver yesterday. The tabling took place after 2 hours of intense debate, during which most members of Parliament from both sides of the aisle condemned the mix-up which led President Mugabe to deliver a wrong speech. Some opposition lawmakers said it was a grave mistake for Mr. Mugabe to end up reading the wrong speech, stressing that it ridiculed the 91-year-old Zimbabwean leader who has ruled the country for more than 35 years. They called for an investigation into the incident and urged the governments to punish the people who are in charge of presidential speeches. Among those who called for the investigation from the opposition were Nelson Chamisa, Thokozani Kuphe, Prince Vanda, Priscilla Mshonga and Abednego Bebe. From the ruling party, only Munyaradzi Kereke was clear that what happened yesterday was unacceptable. Chamisa added that those people who issued the wrong speech must be fired.
What it does, Mr. Speaker, is that it positions our president in an invidious position. But not only is it about the president, it is about our country. And this is what we are supposed to go to the bottom of. What is it that caused, what accounted for this mishap?
MDCT Vice President Kuphe demanded an apology from Vice President and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, saying the executive embarrassed the president.
Mr. Speaker, say what I expected from the Vice President, the moment he opened his mouth, was for him to apologize to this House and indeed to the nation.
Equally concerned was Ms. Aira Mshonga of the MDC formation led by Professor Welsh Mingube, who said she was concerned the president's office was showing gross inefficiency and incompetence, as this had happened before.
I remember at one time having traveled with the president to China, and he was standing up to give a speech as a visiting president at this particular dinner. The speech was not there. For a long time, people were running around to find the speech. We then were asked to eat until the speech would come.
ZANU-PF lawmaker Munyaradzi Kereke was also worried about yesterday's development, but noted that it is important for Parliament to accept the correct presidential speech so that parliamentary business could go on.
The submissions, Mr. Speaker, say, by the earlier speakers and their desire to find justice done to whosoever could have caused that mishap That is a very valid submission to say, let's find out what happened. Indeed, the business of parliament should be taken seriously.
Kereke's contribution was far much different from fellow ZANU-PF lawmakers Mandi Chimene, Oliver Mantipaka and Joseph Chinotimba, who felt that President Mugabe's blunder was just a simple mistake. At the same time, Mnangagwa refused to apologize, saying the executive had noted the mistake, hence it was correcting it in parliament. According to the correct speech, which was published by the state-controlled Herald newspaper, some of the bills that will be considered in the current session are the Public Health, Zimbabwe Standards Regulatory Authority, State Procurement, and the General Laws Amendment Bills. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, the MDCT has petitioned Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda over death threats issued yesterday against the opposition lawmakers by suspected state security agents. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu told a news conference at his party's Harvest House headquarters today that the opposition was very disturbed by the threats received by some of his party's legislators on their mobile phones just before President Robert Mugabe read a wrong speech yesterday to officially open the third session of Zimbabwe's 8th Parliament. Gutu said his party suspected that the state was responsible for the alleged threats, adding that the MDCT has since written a letter to Mudenda expressing its dismay over the issue.
It is wholly improper and uncalled for the Speaker of Parliament to purport to muzzle the freedom of our parliamentarians in the exercise of their oversight role.
This comes after Mudenda yesterday ordered opposition lawmakers not to echo President Mugabe, who they embarrassed when he presented his State of the Nation address 3 weeks ago. Gutu told reporters that the affected legislators were now living in fear of their lives following the threats and called on Mudenda to take action.
If you look at the Constitution of Zimbabwe, the Speaker of Parliament is actually the head of Parliament. So it is actually very insulting for Advocate Jacob Mudenda, the Honorable Speaker of Parliament, to say to our individual members of Parliament, go and report to the police, because it should be his office, because Parliament is an institution. So for him to trivialize these threats and say, go and report, with respect, you are not happy, and we actually stated that in the letter.
Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherit Charamba said they have not yet received a complaint on the matter. But Gutu said the Speaker of Parliament should apologize and give a written guarantee that the opposition lawmakers shall not be harmed during the execution of their duties, both inside and outside the August House. The opposition said the death threats against its lawmakers were caught a chilling reminder of the deteriorating security situation in the country following the abduction and subsequent disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara by suspected state agents. Inside Parliament today, MDCT Chief Whip Innocent Gonese asked the Parliament to set up a special parliamentary committee to look into the threats issued to some of his party's lawmakers. However, Mudenda referred the matter to Parliament's Standing Rules and Orders Committee, which deals with such matters. In an informal street survey in Harare, several residents like Thomas Maduku told Studio 7 it is wrong to threaten lawmakers and any ordinary Zimbabwean.
I think it's bad because if it's happening to, you know, to MPs who are well known, it means for us ordinary people it could be even worse.
An independent political analyst, Marvin Mukudu, noted that democracy is now at risk in Zimbabwe.
The attack mainly on MPs represents an attack directly of the people, considering that member of parliament represents the people who elected them to be in parliament to articulate their views and aspirations.
MDCT legislators heckled Mr. Mugabe during his State of the Nation address when he told parliamentarians that the country's economy was showing great signs of recovery. On the contrary, the opposition and some economists say the nation's economy is on a downward trend. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. MISA Zimbabwe has taken exception to threats by President Mugabe yesterday against independent media journalists he says are falsely reporting that he is scared of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Mr. Mugabe was quoted in the state-run daily The Herald newspaper today as saying, quote, "The journalism we are experiencing is not the journalism we expect. If we begin to take control now, rigid control, people should not cry foul." Mr. Mugabe was venting his anger over the way the private media reported on Mrs. Mujuru's recent manifesto that was widely interpreted as a prelude to a party launch. MISA Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya tells reporter Ntungamili Nkomo the president's threats have no place in a democracy.
We are quite disturbed by the threats that he issued against the media yesterday, more so as they come against the backdrop of a new constitution that provides and concisely safeguards the Zimbabweans' right to freedom of expression, as well as media freedom. For him to warn and threaten the media by stating that they should not cry foul when government takes rigid control is quite shocking for a country that claims to be a democracy, a constitutional democracy for that matter. So it is unacceptable and unwarranted. We are actually concerned because any citizen that feels aggrieved by the media has the right to pursue civil remedies. If you feel you have been defamed, you can go to civil courts, or most importantly, you can also lodge your complaint with the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe. And because President Mugabe is the first citizen, those avenues are clearly available for him to pursue.
Any plans to raise this issue with Mr. Mugabe's office?
As Mr. Zimbabwe, it is part and parcel of our business to engage the authorities on a number of issues related to the policy framework that governs the operations of the media in this country, as well as such issues as unhelpful statements and remarks that can actually make the work of journalists unbearable in this country. So yes, in terms of our, when we meet and when we engage, we always raise these issues, and we shall continue raising them in our engagement.
That was MISA Zimbabwe Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya speaking on the line from Harare.
The African Development Bank has dismissed reports that it has written off Zimbabwe's $600 million arrears to the bank. The bank says the clearance of the arrears would only take place in an internationally coordinated framework. Representatives of the African Development Bank are currently in Harare discussing a number of issues, including possible ways of clearing the country's arrears to international financial institutions. Zimbabwe owes international financial institutions almost $10 billion. Studio 7 erroneously reported yesterday that the bank had cancelled the nation's arrears.
A professional hunter, Theodore Bronkhorst, who was recently in the news for allegedly being behind the killing of the famous lion Cecil, was today granted a $100 bail at the Bulawayo Magistrates Court after having appeared in court facing fresh charges of illegal movement of animal trophies. Bronkhorst's lawyer, advocate Perpetua Dube, told Studio 7 her client was initially accused of allegedly moving sables, but the police withdrew the charges shortly before going to court as they did not have enough evidence. Bronkhorst was arrested in Bulawayo on Monday, with police spokesperson Charity Charamba saying he was facing charges of moving wild animals without a permit.
He is expected to appear in court again on September the 24th in connection with contravening sections of the Wildlife Act. The state initially accused the professional hunter for capturing and translocating between 27 and 29 sables with the intention of illegally exporting them to South Africa. Bronkhorst is already on bail in connection with charges relating to an illegal hunt that resulted in the killing of Cecil, the famous lion, a case which attracted a global attention, forcing American hunter Walter Palmer to briefly go into hiding.
Lion, don't
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Hundreds of migrants streamed into the European Union today through the cornfields of Croatia, welcomed there after Hungary blocked its border with Serbia and fired tear gas and sprayed water cannons at migrants still trying to enter its territory.
And the International Olympic Committee has announced five finalists to host the 2024 Summer Olympic Games. The four European cities of Budapest, Hamburg, Paris and Rome, and the U.S. West Coast city of Los Angeles. Some Zimbabweans living in the diaspora at times commit suicide when they engage in various activities like taking banned drugs or become depressed due to circumstances beyond their control. Several cases have been reported in countries like the US, Britain, South Africa, Australia, and Botswana, in which some of their children are also bullied by local kids at school. Psychologists say in some cases these issues can be tackled without having dire consequences if they are detected early, especially in countries where there are health facilities to handle depression and drug abuse. Social worker Dr. Ian Love, who is a Zimbabwean living in the United Kingdom, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube cases of suicide among Zimbabweans appear to be on the rise in various countries.
In the UK, among the people from, let's say, from Zimbabwe, what we've heard is a number of cases where people have committed suicide. It depends on the age group. For the younger ones, it's usually to do with bullying, to do it with pressure from many angles in their lives. With much older people, most of them, it comes up as depression. In an African context, we don't have a definition of what a depressed person is like. But in the UK, when people are thinking about what they are going to do, where they've been, they go into what we call depression, and usually you find them committing suicide.
So now, how prevalent can we say this is in the UK and most probably some other countries where Zimbabweans are living?
It's prevalent amongst many groups. I don't have the actual figures how prevalent it is, but it does happen in the UK as well. It could be that most of us who have come from the African countries have experienced a culture change, especially for our children. They try to be involved, identify with the local culture, and some of them get into things that as parents we don't accept, as a community or as people from Africa or let's say Zimbabwe wouldn't accept those things. And then there is that disconnect with our roots, and the people feel, you know, left out, or they feel they are outcast, and then they go down the depression route and they commit suicide.
You are a social worker, and people may expect maybe for you to give them advice on, you know, how to avoid some of these issues, especially let's go to bullying. How do you actually tackle that?
You have to have a good relationship with your child. Make sure your child can come to you and say, I'm being bullied in school. And once you see any signs that your child is worried about going to school, you need to take it up with the local authorities or the school authorities. Because if you don't, your child will be bullied and won't tell you, because the bullies actually intimidate them and say, if you tell someone, it's going to be worse. So in order to keep the peace, your child won't tell you what's going on. But your child should have a good relationship with you and believe that my father or my mother can do anything. No one can beat my mother. No one can beat my father. And then you have a good relationship with your child. Then you can help them deal with bullying in school.
In terms of depression, Dr. Ndlovu, what could be the best measures of correcting that?
The first port of call is the doctor. In the UK, everyone has got a doctor. They are registered with the GP. If you feel you are worried, you are anxious, anxiety, and all the kind of stuff, thinking about yourself thinking, having these suicidal thoughts, go to the doctor and explain what's going on in your life, and then you get medication, and then you can be stable on medication.
Now, on the issue of people that are taking substances like cocaine and so forth, what should be done there?
There is a service in the UK called the Drug and Alcohol Service. People go there and work with them. Some of them get on to methadone reduction programs, which help them to get off the drugs. But the key issue is that while working with the drug and alcohol service, one needs to cut off ties with the frame, the environment that would lead them to relapse.
What do you think could be the solution to some of the people that face this kind of ethnic disintegration?
There is a need to have a connection with your roots by talking to people from your country, meeting them at their homes, sharing small things like food from Africa, just to revive the memories, the songs from Africa.
That was social worker Dr. Ian Lovu, a Zimbabwean living in the United Kingdom, speaking with Studio 7 from London.
In Canada, meanwhile, Zimbabwean-born Curtis Smith, known as Keda, says he was inspired to start a social media page called Jirukufaya na Keda as a way of bringing together people from all walks of life to share social issues. Smith has over 43,000 likes on his Facebook page, which he says he's not only using for entertainment but also for philanthropic work. I caught up with Keda earlier on.
It all started with another page called Jinu Jirukufaya. A friend of mine contacted me and asked me to do a video on that page, seeing as I was in the diaspora. Basically, the videos were talking about, hey, I did joke here in Zimbabwe, or it was all joking and, you know, just for humor. And I put my video out there and it went viral. After my video went viral on WhatsApp and on that page, I started getting text messages from all over the world asking me to do more videos. I then continued to make some videos on that page. I made about 6 videos altogether and people just loved me. So I just decided to branch off and do something with a different meaning. I branched off and I made my own page that would keep Zimbabweans connected worldwide through humor, through all the other stuff that I've done on the page. That's how it all came about.
Currently, you have 43,000 people that liked your page. How did you come up attracting so many people?
It's because of the content I was putting on the page. After I was doing videos, a lot of other actors, good actors from all over the world, joined in and started helping grow the page, you know. If it wasn't for everybody else that joined in, it wouldn't be this big. And then word of mouth, obviously.
What kind of material do you actually carry on your page?
I'm getting married in December in Zimbabwe, so I haven't been running the page of late. So it's a bit slow now, but the material I used to put on there, we had like even a TV series going on there with Moyondijo and people from the UK, people from all over. There was a love story going on there. And then I also used to do a lot of charity challenges. Mm-hmm. So we'd do a dance challenge to help raise funds for somebody that's in need of help, and we'd do all types of challenges on the page.
And I also noticed that you are cross-cultural and also cross-racial.
To be honest, I grew up more in the African culture than the Makara culture. When people were on school holidays enjoying, I was Kumusha with like our housemate. So I just used to love the African culture from when I was very small. And people used to call me Keda from back then, and I never found it offensive. But then after doing videos on my page and people getting to know that saying Keda is not such a bad thing, people have accepted it all over now. A lot of people get called Keda and they're okay with it.
Let's go into Keda himself. Before becoming Keda, who are you?
Before coming Keda, I'm Curtis Smith. That's my real name. My nickname was Sleeky.
How did you come up with that nickname?
Back home, I used to do stunt driving. I was a race car driver, so they said I could control a car in any small space, so they just gave me that name, Sleeky. That's been my name for years.
Let's go back to Kumusha. You said you spent a lot of time in the rural areas. Where is Kumusha?
It was way back when I was a kid. I think it was Gokwe, if I'm not mistaken. I used to spend time there and at my granddad's farm, which is also like Kumusha. That's how to speak Shona.
What can people expect from your page?
Basically, I'm just trying to keep Zimbabweans connected, because a lot of Zimbabweans that left the country lost contact with each other and all that. And I just want this to be a platform for people to be able to become successful, like singers, like anybody that's talented. We're trying to find the Zimbabwean talent. And you know, there's a lot of people that are talented, but their talent doesn't get seen from numbers. So they'll have a chance to use this platform to show what they're good at, and somebody will see it, you know, and to give back. to the community.
You talk about giving back a lot. How much money would you say has been the highest that you've raised?
We've raised about £17,000. This never actually went to a charity. It went to an individual, a lady who had cancer in her face, from the fans on the page that helped.
Any word for some of your fans out there?
I just like to say thank you very much for everyone that's supporting and showing love on this page. You know, it is for a good cause, and expect to see better, because we've got good plans, and there are some sponsors that want to come on board that feel that this page needs funding for it to move forward.
That was Curtis Smith, popularly known as Keda, speaking to us from Canada.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Only days after President Salva Kiir of South Sudan signed a peace agreement seeking to end 20 months of fighting, both government and opposition forces have already violated the ceasefire called for in the agreement. Credible reports indicate fighting on both sides, especially in Upper Nile and Unity states. The UN Security Council already warned all parties that failure to abide by the ceasefire will result in new sanctions and an arms embargo. South Sudan's conflict erupted in December 2013 during a power struggle between Kiir and his former vice president Riek Machar. Fighting reopened ethnic fault lines between Kiir's Dinka and Machar's Nuer clans. Thousands of people have been killed and more than 2.2 million driven from their homes, as many fled to neighboring states. Over 4.6 million people face severe food insecurity as a result of the conflict. The United States welcomed the August 29th ceasefire orders from both Kiir and Machar as a positive step toward full implementation of the peace agreement. The recent fighting, however, belies the sincerity of these leaders' commitment to peace and places the entire agreement in jeopardy. The United States calls on all parties to end the provocation and hostile engagement and to focus on sustainable security arrangements at the upcoming security workshop. Those who stand in the way of peace will face consequences. To this end, the United States will work with Security Council partners to pursue, as needed, sanctions as authorized under UN Security Council Resolution 2206. The United States will continue to stand with all those who choose peace and are committed to faithful implementation of the agreement for the benefit of all South Sudan's people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
And finally, in sports news, Zimbabwe's defending Premier Soccer League champions Dynamos today walloped lowly rated Wawa Football Club 5-1 in a league match in Harare. And the other results are as follows: FC Platinum 3, Haumine 0, Chicken Inn 2, Triangle 1, Caps United 1, Wange 0, Chapungu 2, Cholocho 1, ZPC Kariba 2, Harare City 0. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about President Robert Mugabe's blunder in reading a wrong speech in Parliament and implications on local democracy.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa today officially presented to a special sitting of Parliament a corrected speech which President Robert Mugabe was supposed to have read yesterday.
And the MDCT has petitioned the Speaker of Parliament over death threats issued yesterday against the opposition lawmakers.
And the African Development Bank has dismissed the reports that it has written off for Zimbabwe's $600 million arrears to the bank.
That's our broadcast this evening. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.